I want to go to Eilis Mulroy, who, for full transparency, is a pro-life campaigner. Eilis, nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Niall. Good to see you. Good to talk to you too.
I'll come to the other thing in a second, but firstly, you obviously want to talk about the rise, and it is an exponential rise, in the numbers of pregnancies that end up in termination in Ireland. Something you probably spoke to me about during the campaign for the referendum, going back many, many years ago, when we talked about, you know, the 3,500 people that were going to the UK, and the campaigner said, no, that's not going to rise, that's not going to rise. It clearly has risen.
That's right. The Department of Health releases numbers every year for the previous year. So just last Friday, we got the numbers for 2024. And those numbers, it reported that there were 10,852 abortions in 2024, which is the highest number on record since the law changed, and the law changed in the beginning of 2019. So they're fairly shocking numbers, I think it's fair to say. And I think most people would be, you know, horrified to know that it's one in six pregnancies end in abortion in Ireland.
I was quite shocked, actually, when I heard that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit either way on the particular argument, but I was quite shocked that many people are using the service.
Yeah, and before the abortion referendum, when, you know, on the pro-life side, we were putting forward information from Britain about one in five pregnancies at that time ending in abortion. It's now one in three in Britain, in fact, or nearly one in three in Britain.
Wow.
We were told that we were scaremongering, and we were told that that's not the case. And, you know, senior figures said, who were involved in the debate at the time, said abortion numbers won't rise to that extent. And indeed, Leo Varadkar, who was Taoiseach at the time, said, you know, if we vote for the referendum, abortions would be safe, legal and rare. So I think a lot of people would have voted at that time, not expecting this level of abortion to be happening. And I, you know, it's time for the government really to take that on board and do something to address what's taking place, and to even engage with the people who are calling for reasonable measures to be brought forward to try and reduce the abortion rate.
When you also look at this as well, the interesting figures here as well, that 108 of those terminations were due to what they called or people who were diagnosed with fatal fetal abnormality. That was the kind of line that was kind of sold to people, I suppose, during the referendum, that in, you know, these rare cases of fatal fetal abnormality or rape or whatever it was, that women are in very difficult situations or risk to life. There was only 24 pregnancies, by the way, were terminated due to risk of life, which was already there, by the way, because doctors would always, I imagine, ethically have saved a mother's life rather than the unborn child's. So realistically, those particular ones that were used during the referendum really haven't been an issue. There hasn't been very many of those. The majority of abortions or terminations seem to be for economic reasons or social reasons, or I'm just not ready to be pregnant yet, or that seems to be the main reason that women are choosing to terminate a pregnancy.
You're right. 10,711 of the pregnancies were under the early pregnancy provision, which is section 12 of the legislation. So again, when people were looking to change the law on this to repeal the Eighth Amendment, I think a lot of voters would have thought, I'm doing this to save mothers' lives.
Yeah, people are in a crisis
really situation.
Yeah.
And we know that maternal mortality rates in Ireland prior to repeal of the Eighth Amendment were one of the highest in the world. So, you know, was it
kind of logical, Eilis? Because although there was the numbers at the time back in 2019 during the campaign were 3,500, realistically, there were probably a lot more anyway, because there were many women probably ordering, you know, illegally pills online to terminate their own pregnancy. So that was probably happening wholesale, where it isn't now, because they can just go and get it done here.
Yeah, but Niall, even if you accept at face value the figures that were advanced by abortion supporters prior to repeal about the number of people who are accessing abortion pills, it still represents a massive increase in abortion since the law changed, because the numbers prior to repeal were less than 3,000 abortions of Irish women in Britain. So even if you allow for that figure, it's still a huge.
Well, it is. It's one in six increase. Pregnancies, as you rightly said. By the way, I mean, there's also this figure of 240 women travel to the UK from Ireland every year still, according to the National Women's Council, to have an abortion. I'm assuming there are women who are more than 12 weeks pregnant.
Yes. And for some of those, and you know, what's related to what the other topic you're talking about today, many of those would be abortions where there is a diagnosis of Down syndrome or significant chromosomal situations that aren't permitted under the current legislation here. And it brings well, us to when that you conversation say under the, about how we, okay. how we you, value people, you know, and value people.
I'll come to that in a second, but when you say permitted, so are there restrictions in Irish abortion laws? I didn't know there were restrictions. So I thought it was kind of anybody who was pregnant up to 12 weeks can have a termination of pregnancy, and you didn't have to give a reason for it. So is there restrictions? No, there isn't, is there?
That's right. Well, it goes without saying the Irish abortion regime is one of the most extreme, really, because you have abortions for any reason up to 12 weeks. After 12 weeks, a reason is necessary due to the risk to the life or health of the mother in an emergency. We know that, you know, and also the key one, which is to do with a condition likely lead to the death of a fetus. So where two doctors can agree that the baby would die in the womb or soon after birth. So those ones have been happening. But as you say, 99% of the abortions that are happening are under the Section 12 early pregnancy provision, which is where a person doesn't have to provide any reason. But, you know, I think we're...
But so what's the answer, Eilish? Because obviously you're a pro-life campaigner, and I get that. And I did reach out to one or two people who obviously agreed and voted yes for the abortion, and it's difficult to find people, to be honest with you, who will come on the air and talk about that. But when you're talking about it now to me, you're kind of saying, like, this is terrible, this is awful, and I, you know, a lot of people would agree, I suppose, with you. But so what's the answer to that? Because already we're seeing campaigners on the other side suggesting our abortion laws are not good enough. We need more. We need more leniency here. Can we bring it up to 24 weeks? Or can we bring it up to no weeks at all? In other words, they want to decriminalise doctors who perform abortions, just like they did in Parliament in the UK only 3 or 4 weeks ago, to decriminalise doctors who perform abortions at any point in the pregnancy.
Niall, anybody listening to this programme who's been through pregnancy, who's seen an ultrasound, will know the humanity of the unborn child, which is particularly obvious later in pregnancy. So I think anybody who's looking for full decriminalisation of abortion, that's a very radical position to be in. But you say, you know, what should we be doing about it? The reality is that women in Ireland who are in unplanned pregnancy, who currently look to get support from the government through the government's funded My Options helpline, are only really getting, kind of going on a one-way street towards abortion. They're not getting to the extent that they deserve to get information about parenting, information about social welfare, legal entitlements, financial entitlements. And no woman should be going to have an abortion out of economic necessity. I mean, we'll all agree on that. So there's a lot that could be done by the government to make things better for women who go to the helpline looking for support. They're not necessarily abortion-minded women who are ringing that helpline, Niall. They're people who are in unplanned pregnancy. I need help. I want to know what I'm entitled to. Help me out. And we all agree that should happen. And we know, and there are people involved, and I know you're calling me a pro-life campaigner, and I'm happy to be called
a
pro-life
campaigner.
Take
the title.
But I'm happy to take that title. But there are many, many women involved in the pro-life movement, and I know them, and I speak to them, who've been through abortion, who were not given the support that they wanted, and who regret that, and who say they want to speak out. And sometimes people get in touch with us, and only very recently, in the last 2 weeks, I was speaking to a woman who was coerced into an abortion, who wants to speak out. Now, I would never encourage somebody like that to speak out, you know, in the current media environment in Ireland. But those people's voices have to be heard. The lived experiences that we hear about from the other side on this, the lived experiences of the women who regret their abortions, who weren't supported, why are their experiences less important in the Irish media and political class at the moment? And that simply has to change.
Okay, in relation to what we're also talking about today, the story on Sky News kind of caught my eye. I didn't think it was legal, actually. I thought there was regulations around it, and there was up to 2015 until Parliament in the UK said, yeah, go ahead and fire away and do this, which is essentially manipulating DNA. Now, in this particular case, it's in relation to mitochondrial disease, which can have a huge effect on a child's life. They may actually die after birth, but they may live, but they will need 24-hour care and end up possibly wheelchair users. So this idea that you can manipulate DNA and use a third person's DNA to fix damaged DNA or inherently damaged DNA, for any disease, possibly, Do you think this is a breakthrough, a scientific breakthrough, and it's great? Or do you think this is kind of playing with nature and take...
Hey there, looking for car insurance that's simple, fast and comes with a little extra? That's Redclick. You can save an average of €245 when you quote online. That's €245 in your back pocket. Insurance that's easy, insurance that's quick. Visit redclick.ie. Discount based on new private car policies from 1st November 24 to 1st February 25. Max discount €300. Apply before optional covers. Subject to minimum premium. Acceptance criteria, terms and conditions apply. Generali Seguros y Reyes Seguros SAU, trading as Redclick and Generali, is authorised by the General Directorate of Insurance and Pension Funds in Spain and is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland for conduct of business rules.
Digital audio. It can take you anywhere.
To the top of the highest mountain!
Or the bottom of the deepest ocean. You could be
fighting Vikings on a battlefield! Ah!
Or sinking your toes in the sand on a tropical island. Ah. But digital audio can also take you somewhere else, straight to your customers. With over 1 million people listening every week on phones, smart speakers and laptops, Audio XI, Ireland's largest digital audio exchange, can help you reach them. And we can target your advertising wherever they're listening, across radio, podcasts and music streams. Use the power of sound with Audio XI. Find out how at audioxi.com.
Over God's role, if you're religious minded, I suppose. Is this the wrong thing to do? Are we treading in dangerous ground here?
Well, from the pro-life point of view, obviously our interest is where there's the destruction of human life, okay? In the case that you're talking about, listen, we'll all agree, every new baby should be welcomed, and it's great that medicine keeps advancing to treat diseases, but there are downsides and risks that can be forgotten and ignored and end up causing us serious issues down the road. And depending on the techniques used, these kind of procedures involve the destruction of human embryos to create the third individual. And, you know, another thing about this kind of direct genetic manipulation is that it can move into other areas, like you mentioned, beyond the types of gene therapy that treats diseases, into other areas like, you know, the
designer babies,
skin, eyes, unpredictable results and risks. And if you look at Ireland in the context of Down syndrome abortions, so in Ireland at the moment, Down syndrome is not a ground for abortion. However, we know from the Master of the Rotunda that the number of people travelling to have abortions for babies with Down syndrome has risen massively. In 2016, it was only 57% of unborn babies diagnosed with Down syndrome in the Rotunda were travelling for abortions, according to the Rotunda themselves. And in 2022, which is the last time we got those figures, the Master of the Rotunda, Fergal Malone, said that up to 95% of unborn babies diagnosed with Down syndrome at the Rotunda end up being aborted outside of Ireland. Now, let's think about that.
What does that say about how we feel about people who were born with disabilities or were born challenged in some way? I mean, it doesn't say a lot about us, does it, as human beings?
Yeah, and also, like, you know, back in 2018, and I kind of think it's time to stop talking about 2018, but back in 2018, because that's the basis on which lots of people listening to this program voted yes, we were told that when the No campaign said abortion legislation would see a massive increase in the rate of abortion of babies with Down syndrome, again, we were told we were scaremongering. So all of this stuff should be considered by the government.
Yeah, but people are going to be texting in and ringing in and saying, Eilish, it's done. It's a done deal. The legislation is there. The constitution has been changed. If anything at all, it's going to become more liberal. So have you lost the fight? Have the people... Which, by the way, there was still a substantial amount of people, 33% of voters on that particular day decided they didn't agree with it. And many of the voters who did agree with it, who came on this show, kind of said they didn't know what they were actually voting for. They believed they were voting for just the legislation the government provided at the time and never thought for one minute that legislation could be changed, which it probably most likely will be. They thought it was set in stone. Because obviously they had a level of compassion for women who were in a situation where they were raped or had fatal abnormalities or any of those conditions that we were told about at the time. So they were kind of led to believe that's what this was for. But that's not really what it was for. We were changing the constitution to allow any changes in legislation.
Yeah, and well, I mean, you're right about that. And I think a lot of people did vote based on the restrictions that they were hearing about. But the legislation could also change in other ways. And so, like, really, it's really important to take it as, on the whole, look at bring in the people who have the stories, bring in the people who have the experience of been through abortion and make some changes. And I wouldn't give up at all. And I think that we work a lot with politicians. We talk to politicians. And I personally know politicians who would have campaigned for a yes vote in 2018, who think this is gone way too far. And I know that there's probably thousands of people listening to your program who would agree. They never thought that we would see, in the Irish Examiner a couple of years ago, we had the report of a woman being coerced to take abortion pills, a minor being locked in the room and coerced to take abortion pills. Nobody would agree with that. Nobody's covering that. Nobody's talking about that. We had a case in Limerick where a woman had an ectopic pregnancy, took an abortion pill, and then nearly died as a result of that. Wow. Because yeah, there was no... So this, all of that stuff is just being... And of course, the research from UCC, which showed that in some scenarios in Munster, babies were born alive after failed abortions and left to die. So, I mean, none of that is out there. None of that's being discussed. And I mean, thank you for discussing it today.
And that's no problem at all. And as I said, you know, those on the other side have no reason to be on the media because basically the fight has been won and they have nothing to fight anymore. Apart from the fact that they want the legislation loosened up or more liberalised in a sense of maybe up to 24 weeks or 23 weeks, whatever it is in the United Kingdom. Anyway, look, it's a very interesting conversation. I think most of our listeners will be quite shocked that that figure, one in six pregnancies, end up in a termination. I don't think we'd ever be at that point. But that is a reflection of our society, by the way. And you're right, you know, when these women ring agencies who are in a crisis pregnancy and they're not getting any support financially or otherwise, sometimes leaves them with no alternative.
That's right. And the idea that any woman would have to have an abortion because she can't afford to live, I mean, that the idea that anybody would want to stand over that is just shocking. So the current situation is very unjust. It's unsustainable. And it's doing a massive disservice to women in unplanned pregnancy, okay, and their unborn babies. And we're looking to talk to the Minister for Health and to sit down and try to make some changes. To support women, in particularly in supporting women in unplanned pregnancy, that they can parent and give them the tools for that and not tell them that abortion is the only answer.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate you coming on. Eilish Mulroy, thank you for joining us this evening.